Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. Hello, friends. We are back with another episode. This one is a bit of a doozy, and I am excited to get slightly controversial. Oh, it's probably not going to be controversial, but it might. I wanted to remind everyone, we do have a group program. Nutriving has a program that has, it's a 12-week step that you kind of go at your own pace, which is lovely. We give you resources. We do mini videos. We talk about how to build healthy habits that feel appropriate for your lifestyle, something that you're actually going to fall in love with. And then hopefully you can kind of grow to use these tools, these new patterns of eating for years to come, which is the whole idea of having nutrition be approachable, having something that is lasting. And these are things, these are patterns that your health definitely will respond to. We want you to feel amazing. And so we kind of, this is how this program came about. So if you are interested, reach out to us. We have a website, nutriving.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. You know where to find us. Kelly is here today. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, friends.
We are not drinking wine because we're terrible uncorked dietitians. Because it's fairly early in the morning. But are you drinking any fluids, any liquids, anything?
My normal morning ones, water, coffee. Kat and I have had to be very flexible with our podcast recording times as of late because we are both very busy, so we can't always fit it in later on. So coffee it is.
I will take a little bit of the heat or the blame for our crazy schedule. I have been traveling. Friends, I have been somewhat all over the place in the span of 45 days. It's been wild. I am ready to not
on a journey.
Oof. I'm ready not to do this. Do you know how much underwear I had to pack? It was crazy. Also because
I can't imagine.
I'm one of those people. Are you one of those people that feels like there's not enough underwear? Almost like you're going to have a terrible emergency, even though that's never actually happened to you. But I feel like I need to have like in the 50s, you know, like just like as much underwear as I own, even though I've never put that, you know, there's like that one or few underwears that you're just like, I'm never going to wear that because it's uncomfortable or they're old or whatever. I carry those. I've been carrying them with me. So I've been to Munich. I was in Austria. Then I was in Amsterdam. Then I was in Dublin. Now I'm in the lovely state of South Carolina. I'm going to California next week. It's been wild. And no, I'm not a rock star. It's just, you know, the life I chose.
All over.
Yeah.
I have not been all over, but I have been tearing my house up and trying to fix it. So very different place, but very busy nonetheless.
I'm drinking a beet smoothie. It has almonds and ginger, and it's in Greek yogurt, and it tastes delicious.
Yeah,
I know it doesn't. Speaking of almonds, great transition. Speaking of almonds, we are bringing you a hot article. As dietitians, I think that we and Kelly, you probably. There's so many topics that are like trending that relate peripherally to our profession. It's hard to keep up with them. Do you feel that way too?
Mm-hmm. You try to, but there's definitely a lot out there on social media, the regular news. I think it helps when we're talking with clients, talking with even friends and family. This, you know, questions come up and, oh, I saw this on, you know, X, Y, or Z website. What do you think about this?
Yes. Right? Yes. So it feels like we have to have eyes on multiple outlets and understanding what's happening. Half the time I feel completely out of the loop. But it's good to be on top of these things, especially because we have an engaging community here that do tune in weekly to our conversations. And there was an article on Glamour, the magazine. It's called Growing Up with an Almond Mom, quote unquote almond mom. Kelly, tell our friends, what the hell is an almond mom? Let's see if we can come up with a good definition between the two of us.
Yeah, we will link the article that we're talking about in the podcast episode description so you can read it for yourself. I came across this, I think it was on Instagram or something, and I read it and then immediately sent it to Kat, and I was like, we have to do an episode about this because it's just, it made me so sad because so much of it resonated in the sense that I have heard patients, clients, friends and family, you know, talk about things related to this. So, all right, let me give it a shot. Almond Mom, that's what this article is about. It was inspired by, it looks like, Yolanda Hadid, Gigi and Bella's Hadid's mother.
Yeah.
I think they're like, I don't know, models, whatever. But basically, talking about how Yolanda is basically an almond mom and that she's not alone. So almond mom essentially is a mom who, the way I read the article, Kat, would be like there are two types, right? There could be an almond mom who is both very obsessive about her own eating and her own body and her own weight. And so she comments on that often. She has behaviors around control of those things. And she, you know, makes those behaviors known. Mm-hmm. So there's an almond mom that does that and then also imposes the same thing on her children, mm-hmm. often girls. You know, I don't think this is exclusive to girls by any means, but often, you know, girls. And so the mom is imposing both of these things on herself and her children. But then the article also talks about another type, I guess you could say, of almond mom who maybe does not impose her beliefs and her behaviors on the child. So for example, does not limit what the child's eating, doesn't comment on the child's body or how much the child is eating. But on the flip side, the mom is very like fastidious about her body, maybe comments on like the way clothes fit, restricts her eating, you know, has different like eating rituals that smack of like eating disorder. So there's a clear dissonance, like a very wide gap between how a mom acts with the child and the child's body and eating versus the mom's own eating and own patterns.
Yes.
It's a long answer.
What a great way of summarizing a lot of this concept that's being explained in this article. But really, it's in the term almond mom comes from the concept of if you're hungry, eat some almonds and chew them really well, kind of, and you'll avoid consuming excess calories, and therefore you'll avoid your body being a specific way that is deemed very undesirable. I mean, the headline is Growing Up with an Almond Mom, and then the tagline or the kind of, there's a paragraph here says she fixates on how little she's eaten, how much weight she's lost, she's obsessed with dieting, she comments on her children. If her children eat more like people than rabbits, meet an almond mom. And so this is sort of, I think with reality TV, we can see that a little bit of mom interacting with their kids this way. Even just in movies, there is the Regina George's mom who's very... sort of seems a little bit obsessive appearances of how much her daughter might, or what her daughter looks like, really. Mm-hmm. There's also a movie with Jennifer Aniston that came out, and she's sort of a pageant mom, and her daughter doesn't really seem to fit that stereotype. I think it's called Blumpkin. Or I maybe that's not the right title, but I don't know. Do you know? Do you know which movie I'm talking about?
No, but I believe you. There's definitely a lot of examples.
I am lying to you. Yeah. Yes. I'm gonna look it up just so that I or she calls her Blumpkin, but it's anyway. Lots of representations of this happening in media, in movies, in even just, and I think more importantly, how much of this we as professionals see this interacting in our own clients' lives, whether they're the mom in this case, or whether they're the child in this case, or growing up with that environment. If you grew up in the 90s, this sort of cultural phenomenon was rampant. I mean, it was everywhere. Everyone was obsessed with having a specific body, restrictive eating. It was hot. I mean, if you think about that saying that Kate Moss now regrets saying, nothing feels good as skinny feels, nothing tastes good as skinny feels. It's a perfect representation of what culturally that means.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know Kate Moss said that. Interesting.
Yeah.
There's a few phrases throughout this article that if you're listening to this, you know, sadly, you probably have heard before. So that's one. Nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. Another one that I remember for the first time hearing when I was in high school from a friend, like a girl that I went to high school with. I guess not a friend. I didn't know her super well, but she competed in a sport with me, and she said, "A moment on the lips, forever on the hips." And I was like, "What the fuck? Like, what is that?"
Yes.
And then I've heard it, you know, a million times since then in a lot of different contexts, but I will never forget how shocked I was when she said that, because I was eating, someone brought, like, I think it was Rice Krispie treats, something sweet, you know, to eat. And that was what she said when the treats came out. And I was like, wow, what a buzzkill. Like,
yeah.
Unnecessary.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. It's called Dumplin', and that's what she calls her daughter.
Yeah.
Dumplin'.
I don't think I've seen it, but recall the trailer.
It's a cute movie, but I mean, that's the concept of, you know, having a mom like this. And what we wanted to talk about, I mean, we could talk about this from every angle possible, from being women and growing up in the 90s, from having family members or friends or people that we knew, kind of like your friend who just, you know, talks about that. But I think the perspective that I really thought might be an interesting one is from professionally speaking, touching on this. And I know this is a cultural phenomenon that, you know, I think what is relevant to our experience or as a professional perspective is that there seems to be a way of hiding some pretty toxic understanding of what healthy means in the name of eating healthy and feeling better and eating balanced. It's sort of like we are hiding pretty nasty beliefs about image and behavior around food behind what we feel that is healthy and kind of a way of sort of saying, oh, I'm taking care of myself. I'm taking care of my body. I'm going to eat almonds because they're healthy. But there's something really toxic underneath. And these are moms that are sharing this with their daughters. These are moms that either are trying not to share it, but it's coming out anyway, like, as you know, you're seeing this behavior obsessive about the way your body looks. And speaking to this from the perspective of nutrition, there are some seriously misunderstood things here. And we want to kind of dispel some of that, or at least name it, because, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, aesthetics and health are not the same thing. Being healthy and being skinny are not necessarily compatible. They don't mean that those things have to be exclusively true. You know, being healthy and being skinny don't always coincide. Looking a specific way and being well nourished do not coincide half the time. And we are not always given that nuanced message. Rather, we're often given the fact that skinny, a specific almond eating moms are very healthy. And that's not always true.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think if we compare the past decade, let's say 5 years, 10 years, compared to the 90s or early 2000s, I actually think like the point you make about hiding it behind, you know, this, oh, I'm doing this because I want to be healthy, right? I'm taking care of myself, which I fully believe that often that's the intention behind yeah. some of these behaviors. But I think in the past 5 to 10 years, with the rise of, you know, body acceptance movements, just like overall more body positivity, healthy at all size, those type of movements and messages from them are becoming more mainstream as of late, which is yeah. awesome.
Yeah.
But I think compared to the 90s and early 2000s, where everything was non-fat, low-fat, 100-calorie snack packs, like all of that was just in your face all the time. Like it was so much, it was so widespread. Whereas now there's other messages that are becoming louder, or at least like diluting the space a little mm-hmm. bit, if that makes sense. So it's almost like you can more easily hide behind, I don't know if I'm making sense at all. I've only had one cup of coffee, you guys. And this is a completely unfiltered, unedited conversation between Kat and I. But I think because of the change in tide, it almost is easier to like hide behind, oh, I'm doing this because I'm taking care of myself, or I'm doing this because I want to be healthy. It's like easier to hide behind that right now versus before. Does that make any sense?
But okay, so I think both things are true. We understand now, I think, culturally and in this time, that obsession over being skinny is not being viewed in a necessarily positive light. And so mm-hmm. the saying, nothing tastes good as skinny feels, currently feels like really jarring. Just like, oh my God, like that is just terrible, right? Right? Yeah. In the 90s, not so much. In the early 2000s, not so much. But currently, yes. And so I think that there's been a shift. And so now we're not talking about being obsessive about the pursuit of being thin, but rather right. hiding it behind this facade of the image of health. I just want right. to be healthy. I want to feel healthy. But really what you're saying, and a lot of times the behavior reflects this, no, you want to feel skinny, you want to look skinny, which aren't always the same thing. And as a dietitian, it is really difficult to hold space for both things to be true. Sometimes mm-hmm. we have clients who may have had unhealthy patterns of eating, their weight has gone up, and they're wanting to feel healthier. And feeling healthier and talking about the right kinds of foods, the right kinds of maybe portions that feel satisfying, you know, that we're not eating because we're obsessive over, you know, maybe feeling anxious about something, and food becomes a way that we cope with life. And so when we're talking about balanced eating, nutritiously, nutrient-dense foods, kind of moving away from some of the foods that we have been partaking in a way that does not feel good, and it's reflective on our, you know, blood panel. And so holding that space for all those things to be true, like working with somebody and potentially that might lead to some weight loss, and really kind of having fostering a healthy relationship around food, but we're not overtly restricting, but we're being intentional about eating some more nutrient dense foods. Holding that space is difficult, because then either the message is being skinny is the only way to be healthy, or the message becomes, don't worry about it, you're fine, eat whatever you want, and then and they were not really in the pursuit of health and personal growth in the relationship with food, which is such a complex thing. But as a dietitian, I have to say, like, having a healthy snack like almonds is not inherently bad. It's the intention behind it that it becomes obsessive over the number on the scale that I'm not going to support, but I'm not going to also be against somebody in the journey of pursuit of health. And so it's really complex.
Mm-hmm. And as complex as it is for adults to comprehend and for adults to talk about, even adults like you and I who, you know, talk about things related to this all the time, what kills me, because I've seen it firsthand over and over, is how this, like, almond mom, right? We're talking about moms and how they ultimately interact with their children. How children process and receive these messages can impact them so deeply.
Oh, yeah.
And I know this because I have clients and I've had patients in the past who talk about these things. Like, who so, you know how sometimes when you're little, you, like, you don't remember a lot of things, but you'll have just, like, a very clear, crisp memory of something, like, super specific. Well, a lot of times you can, oh, sorry, I have something in my eye, but I'm podcasting, mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. You can have patients and clients have shared with me these moments that they remember, you know, a mom or a dad or a loved one, sibling, whatever it is, who says something, you know, comments on what they're eating or comments on how their body looks. And a child can remember that forever.
Oh, remember
details about that moment and how they felt in that moment. And it's hard to know as a parent, I'm sure, or just anyone interacting with a child, like, what is that moment going to be, right? No one can truly understand the impact of something in a moment 20 years from now. But that sticks with kids, and I've worked in settings where I'm interacting with both the parents and the children at the same time, like in the same room, centered around, it's supposed to be the family's healthy habits, but it often turns to one child's healthy habits. And the things that, I could cry right now, honestly, thinking about it, the things that I have heard parents say about their kids, in front of their kids, it's so heartbreaking. And this concept of almond mom, I think, spans generations. I think it spans cultures. It spans languages. Like, it does span everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think from the perspective of, God, there's so much I want to say about this.
I know.
From the perspective,
maybe we'll have a few episodes.
I know, really, seriously. So, I want to also be clear that just because we're focusing on the almond mom, that the reason why the mom feels the need to do this, it's not necessarily because these moms are evil, right? They're like, oh, they're self-obsessed, shallow women, you know. That I don't believe that to be true. I think that these women have, at some point, they themselves been taught that being skinny or looking a specific way is a way to lead a happy, successful life. And so not only are they trying to teach their kids, like, hey, listen, this is a survival mechanism that has worked for me before, and it's working for me. And I think me worrying about it for myself and for you is important. Therefore, it hasn't felt like evil. It just is. And then also we have, you know, where's the dad in all this, or a father figure or whatever. And I think as a society, when we think of women and their contribution, image is a big part of this. So there's a patriarchal society. It does play a role into this, having kids and the postpartum process of women losing weight is so important. And what's tricky about this is that before it was blatant, and now it's in the name of health. And as a professional that deals with nutrition and helping people hopefully find healthier versions of themselves, it is so hard to speak to this blatantly. It's really difficult. And I understand there are multiple layers here, but I'm curious to hear from you, Kelly, some of the sayings that people that you've heard, even from dietitians themselves, which makes me so cringy. Things that are and I'll give you an example, but things that we say that, or that you've heard in the name of health that are actually pretty toxic. Like I'll give you an example. If you're hungry, just drink a glass of water.
Like that's the first thing that came to my mind was, if you're not hungry, you're thirsty. Like I cannot count the number of times I have been in a room where a parent has said that to the child. And it's like, you don't know. Like, you do not know what that child is feeling internally. And the biggest issue I have with that is you're teaching the child not to listen to themselves. And you're teaching the child that what they think and feel is wrong. And you don't know what you're talking about, right? Like, don't trust your body. That's what I hear.
Oh, I mean, I bet, let's call it what it is. This is gaslighting. It's like, I know what you're feeling, what you're telling me you're feeling is not actually what you're feeling. Similarly to that is, you're not hungry, you're bored. And have I ever been in a situation where I'm bored and I'm sort of just eating around some snacks in the kitchen? Sure. But that doesn't, for it to be so rampant that people sort of believe this thing of like, oh, I'm not actually hungry. I'm having all the physical sensations of hunger. I haven't had much to eat today at all. I clearly feel an energy deficit, but no, I'm going to either gaslight myself or there's an external message that says, no, I'm not actually hungry. I'm just bored. And so like, go walk, go do some exercise, go to the gym or whatever. I mean, it's so insidious. It's just so terrible how this message of health is really not healthy at all.
I think other things that come to mind, oh man, I feel like I need to go to therapy after talking about this. Just like thinking of some of the things that I've witnessed when working in settings recently, it just like kills me. I think the comments on how children's clothes are fitting, that just guts me. Like, because, and as you said, like Kat and I think we do need to have multiple episodes around this topic because we both have so much to say. But I think when I hear parents commenting on how a child's clothes are fitting differently, like, oh, your shirt's not as tight, or, you know, you can buckle your belt one more notch tighter, you know, things like that. It's just a lot to take in because I know that the adult has good intentions. Like, they are not trying to hurt the child by any means. But what I've seen over and over is that parents who maybe have children, they want their children to lose weight. These are settings that I have worked in before. And so they treat that journey the same as they expect it to be for an adult, right? So like, if you're an adult, you want to lose weight, you want your clothes to fit tighter. But there's a fundamental difference between adults and children in that children are still growing and still maturing. And so to expect the same journey and to act the same way, like if you saw a family member or a friend who lost weight, you know, often people will be like, oh my God, you look great, right? And then that person is reinforced for whatever they put themselves through the previous months. And to impose that same thing on a child who just like does not have the intellectual capacity, like the prefrontal cortex is not developed, like they just, receiving that message is so different as a child. And the message that I imagine they're receiving is like, oh, so it's good to be, I need to be smaller. Like my body was not okay before, and now it's slightly more acceptable to my parents. And I fully know that that's not what the parents, like they have the best of intentions. And that's the part that's heartbreaking, and that it really helps to have a professional to like as compassionately as possible and as gently as possible to point out some of these things. Because when you're in the thick of it, I know that parents can't see it that way. And so it really takes a lot to just be open and vulnerable and be okay with thinking about it in a different way. Because sometimes our intentions might be the best, but how we're behaving is not carrying out that intention. And that's a really hard pill to swallow for all humans, right? It doesn't feel good when you realize that something you did, you know, didn't have the intended effect that you wanted. But that's the truth with a lot of these situations, especially when we talk about like parent-child dynamics.
Yeah. Especially because a child is not preparing the meals for themselves. A child is not making those choices. And so the message becomes your body is wrong. Your body currently is wrong. And even though we're in the process of growing and changing and compassion is just needed all around in that setting. But yeah, so I think one of the things that we need to understand is that eating a nutrient dense, balanced diet should be what we're all aiming for in order to help and support our health, our immune system, our bone structure, our, you know, general overall ability to do the things we need to do day to day, whether you're a parent, whether you're not a parent, but just to support your body and support your health. That journey is wonderful and should be applauded. The journey where we are masking health behind a ulterior motive of being the smallest version we can be is often unhealthy, and it needs to be called out. Eating almonds inherently isn't bad, but if that's the only thing you think works as a snack to kind of get rid of your hunger so you can continue this journey to be smaller, that's not good for you as an individual. It's not good for your children. It's not good for in general. If you're still self-obsessing over that journey or that version of yourself that you feel like it's going to be the healthiest version or whatever, that is not healthy and it does harm. I listened to a podcast episode on Dietitians Connect, I think it's called. It's a great place to find good webinars and continuing education for dietitians. And there was a really interesting conversation around weight loss and whether dietitians being part of a weight loss program versus not, whether that's causing harm, or can you do weight loss sort of teachings and then still be a part of something that would be supportive to our mental health. There are lots of opinions here. We're kind of, Kelly and I are in the thick of it sometimes where it feels like we're being bombarded each direction. Like, of course you can do it, or of course you cannot. And lots of strong opinions there. But one of the things I do want to say is there was something incredibly profound that Alyssa Ramsey said. She is a dietitian that has more of a weight inclusive outlook. She is the author of Unapologetic Eating. She's a non-diet nutrition dietitian also, just like we are. We kind of love Alyssa. But she talked about the oath that a lot of medical practitioners take. In particular, she was talking about the oath that doctors take to do no harm, right? And we all understand that basic concept, right? You want to be the kind of professional who brings, who is not going to intentionally harm the patient. And she said something that just like literally blew me out of the water. She said, if you have somebody in the disordered eating spectrum, somebody who's underweight, who has really been struggling with either bulimia or anorexia or a version of some form of disordered eating, who is fighting for their life at this point because they're so malnourished, and they're giving you their coping mechanisms around avoidance of food and all that. If we were to use some of the weight loss tips and treatments and things that we kind of like the drinking a glass of water when you're hungry or not, you know, gaslighting people into thinking that they're not hungry. If we're using those same strategies with that person, we would be causing harm, right? Because we understand that this patient needs to find a better way to nourish themselves. But we often are using the same thing that that person has been using, those strategies to lose weight. We often then turn around and use that same strategies on somebody who resides in a larger body. And so she was like, what is the difference here? And I know the weight is the most obvious difference, but when it comes to psychologically impacting, I am not sure that those two things differ very much, because the message is the same for that very undernourished, eating disordered patient and the person who is obsessing over their weight, who just happens to reside in a larger body. So it's an interesting thought to kind of say, am I causing harm by sneakily hiding under the concept of health that I just really want you to look a specific way, and that society will applaud you once you get there, whether you get there from in a health, like actually being healthy or unhealthy, we will applaud you. And I'm not sure I want to get behind that train.
Mm-hmm. Man, I feel like we could go on for a very long time. And I think this topic is worth it because it so deeply affects so many of us. You know, how you think about your own body and your own eating and what implications that may have for whoever, even if you're not a parent, just, you know, whoever you're around, whoever you live with, all of that creates an environment, you know, with certain norms and things that you may think are typical or not typical. But I think at the end of the day, you know, sometimes it helps to evaluate what, just like give yourself some space and time and think through what are your intentions, right? What are your goals? And then mapping that onto our behaviors. And when we just approach it kind of in a curious way to try to see what's there, sometimes that can help kind of uncover things, because we're on autopilot, let's face it, like so much of the time, a lot of our lives are really busy and you just kind of like get in the zone and you get in grooves. And so it becomes really easy to just carry forth with whatever routines are working. And sometimes they're not working, right? And sometimes they may be causing harm, or just minimally, maybe they're just not functional, right? They're not matching the intention. But worst case, you know, they're causing harm. So it really can benefit all of us to like slow down here and there, you know, take stock of what's going on, certainly get help if and when you need it. There are so many professionals ready and willing to help you in whatever situation related to this conversation. But we should probably cap it here. Maybe we can pick back up, because if you're listening to this and you're into our conversation and some of this has resonated with you today, we would love to hear from you. I think this is a really good conversation to keep going and just kind of stay open about it.
Yeah. I think bottom point here too is like, your journey is your journey, right? And I'm not sure I really love the word journey and to use in the path of health, but yeah, if there's so much judgment out there. And so whether you're struggling one way or another, or you're just trying to get healthier and you don't know, and it's just really confusing. If there are ways that you need support and that we can support you, please, 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 please reach out. We would love to have more resources on this if that's something that would feel helpful. If having this conversation feels helpful and you need us to have more of these, to share with friends and family and people that support you, we would love to do that as well. So just sending a lot of love out this morning. Yes.
Lots of love. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. We will have a brand new episode for you in 2 weeks. And as we said, feel free to reach out. We always love hearing from our listeners. If you have any requests for certain episodes or any like hot topics like this article we kind of touched on today, feel free to send our way because Kat and I are always into breaking stuff down together. So thank you all for being here and we will see you soon.
See you soon. Bye, friends.
Bye.